Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful immediately, and some you will put in your wardrobe for when you need to don it. This week's tool is dance, and why it is important to have the courage to challenge yourself to include dance as part of your life, and how to utilize this gift once I've demonstrated to you that it is a great tool for your brand. What do I mean when I say dance? Burlesque, stripping, flamenco, salsa, ballroom, square dancing, elaborate choreography we see in concerts, raves, clubbing, ballet, tap, Jamaican dance hall, Greek social gatherings, belly dance, tribal drum circles, tango, foxtrot, dab, nene, and whip. Dance is around us everywhere. But if you have not shaken that tail feather in some time, today we are going to explore the importance of dance in your life and how to get your groove back. Dance, in its most simplistic form, is simply a form of movement, and movement is critical to your health. One of my favorite books of all time, and prominent Harvard psychiatrist John Dr. Rady, writes in his book Go Wild that according to extensive evidence and based in research, movement has been shown to improve cognitive function, improve immune system functioning, it makes you more creative, innovative, increases your metabolism, can prevent depression, and yes, makes you look younger. And on the business side of things, it helps businesses make more money with highly energized employees, with less sick days and more positive outlook. Therefore, higher morale and better productivity out of highly efficient working teams. Consider dance then to be an incredibly entertaining way to get movement into your life. But dance is more than just movement, of course. Dance can be spiritual, healing, therapy, and meditation. The book Dance, the Sacred Art, the Joy of Movement as a Spiritual Practice by Cynthia Winton Henry encourages its readers to seize the joy and healing power of dance and to unify your body and mind, push your personal boundaries, and also to work through trauma and crisis and restore spiritual well-being, which is also echoed in the more literary tomes such as The Body Keeps Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma by Bessel van der Kolk, which uses recent scientific advances to show how trauma literally reshapes both brain and body, comprising sufferers' capacity for pleasure, engagement, self-control, and trust. He explores innovative treatments from neurofeedback and meditation to sports, drama, and yoga that offer new paths of recovery by activating the brain's natural neuroplasticity. This also, of course, includes dance. And in the book, The Art and Science of Dance and Movement Therapy by Sharon Caiclin and Hilda Wengrower, we are offered both a broad understanding and an in-depth view of how and where we can dance and use dance as therapy to produce change. And you can find all the books and the articles mentioned in our program on our webpage at wcbe.org, as well as our podcast. And you can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud as well for U Inc. and our companion show on YouTube for U Inc. Radio, as well as our sister media outlet, CitySceneColumbus.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials as well. But my favorite benefit from dancing is its meditative quality. We were born to dance. From the time we are babies, we prefer the sound of music and we move rather than responding to the sound of speech. And we have been dancing for centuries as a species. It is meditative because it gives our brain a rest and it connects us with others in a way that is ancient and spiritual and activates those regions in our brain that are activated during meditation. And you can find out all about that and more in the article in the Journal of National Institute for the Clinical Application of Behavioral Medicine. While I dance, I cannot judge, I cannot hate, I cannot separate myself from life. I can only be joyful and whole. That is why I dance. And that's from Hans Boss, a contemporary admirer of dance with no formal training whatsoever. Adrienne Bentz is a company dancer with Ballet Met since 2003. She received the 2006 Princess Grace Award, Ballet Met's 2009 Violetta Boft Award, and was one of Dance Magazine's 25 to Watch in 2010. She is known for her versatility, superior athleticism, and supple grace and elegance. She began dancing at age 5, but decided to take the professional track at age 13, and began training under the direction of Elaine Kudo and Buddy Ballou, and 4 summers with ABT in New York City. She has performed at the International Contemporary Dance Festival in Poland and the Moscow International Contemporary Dance Festival in Russia. She danced 4 summers at the National Choreographers Initiative and in 2011 performed with Dance Grand Moultrie at the Summer Stage Festival in Central Park. Her roles have included The Sugar Plum Fairy, Aurora in Sleeping Beauty, Juliet in David Nixon's Romeo and Juliet, Mina in Nixon's Dracula, The Chosen One in Doug Varone's Rite of Spring, and The Dancer in Twyla Tharp's Sinatra Suite, to name a few. She is a New Jersey native, and today she lives with her husband Cody and their son Clive and their boxer Bowser in Columbus and soon-to-be residents of Hudson, Ohio. Welcome, Adrienne.
Thank you.
I've been a big fan for a long time, and I know that you have quite a few of them, and it's an honor to have you here in the flesh and instead of seeing you from the stage. So I want to know, is Jagger still around?
No.
Oh.
No, Jagger.
I'm sorry.
It's been about 2 years. We had to say goodbye to Jags.
But you still have Bowser.
We still have Bowser,
okay,
yes.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So for everyone here who doesn't know, we've known each other for a while. And Jagger was the dog that Cody and you adopted while you guys were dating.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm curious. I know I saw this video of you on Vimeo, which was like the day in the life of a ballerina. Which I totally loved. I wonder if your routine's has changed since then, but I'll ask you that a little bit. What is the Adrienne Bentz origin story? So you said in there that you had started dancing at 5, and at 13 you kind of decided to take that professional track. So how did you make that choice?
Well, to be a professional dancer requires an incredible amount of dedication and time dedicated to it. And at that point in my life, I was involved in a lot of other activities, and my parents were kind of just like, we have to pick one, because dance, if you want to train on the professional track, it's every day, hours and hours on end, weekends. And so my teachers were very reassuring to me that it would be the right choice for me if that's the way I wanted to go, to be a professional ballet dancer. And so I just thought, well, yes, that is how I want to, you know,
dedicate
my time.
So. Right, because there's only so many hours in a day. And even though you were doing a lot of different things, you have to kind of pick one. And especially, as you mentioned, it's, you know, physically demanding. It requires a lot of training. So there comes a time where you have to make that real choice.
Yeah.
Okay. When not doing ballerina work, do you enjoy doing other types of dancing? I saw in your Vimeo, like, you dance for hours every day. Because, you know, like, there's that thing when people are professionals, the last thing they want to do is their line of work. So do you do other type of dancing?
I don't. I mean, at a wedding,
sure.
I'll get on the dance floor.
Sure.
But no, I haven't really dabbled in any other styles of dance. I've always been, like, very, very impressed with hip-hop dancers. I don't know how I would do at it, but who knows? Now that I'm retired from ballet, maybe that could be something that I would kind of try my hand at.
Right.
Not professionally at all,
sure.
But just for fun.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know, they have hip-hop classes at the Commons, and they do have them at different gyms and stuff
right.
like that. It's a good place to get started.
Yeah.
I once saw this video. There were these dancers, like, practicing, I think, one of the numbers for Swan Lake. And, you know, when they're dancing, and when I see ballerinas like yourself dancing, you act as if it's effortless, and then you see them stop and they're like heaving. So how does one learn how to do that? Or is that kind of, if you have the ability to do that, that's the difference between being an amateur and a professional?
A little bit of both. I mean, I remember that's one of Cody's favorite memories of my professional career was getting to sit in the wings for a show instead of in the audience. Mm. So he got to see that. He got to see the dancers, you know, all, like, happy, smiling, looking easy, and then they exit and they're about to heave over and die, depending on what we're doing. Dance requires a tremendous amount of stamina for that fact. We have to make it look easy. There are certain pieces I've done, though, in my career that the choreographer was really interested in the struggle of it. And so he wanted it to look tired and hard. And that was like the look he was going for. For the most part, when you think ballet, though, you think Swan Lake or Nutcracker. Right. And that is what you need to portray. It needs to look effortless. And
so is there a trick? Do they teach you? There a class for that?
There's not.
Okay.
I mean, I think you kind of just, the more you practice, the better you get. We do a lot of run-throughs in the studio before we hit the stage, and you try to, like, ease up to that point in the studio. 14 years as a professional, my stamina at the end, I think, was pretty good.
Yeah.
Some dancers would ask me, like, how do you not even sweat? And I did sweat. It just came on later.
Right. What does a ballerina do to prepare for a performance? Is there a particular, like, do you carb load or what do you do?
I think every dancer is different. Mm-hmm. And male and female dancers are very different in mm-hmm. how they prepare for a performance. Do you mean like the day of a show?
Yep.
Most female dancers don't like to dance on a full stomach,
Okay. Which
is why we're eating dinner at like 11 o'clock at night.
Gotcha.
Most performance days. We will have usually some rehearsals in the morning on a show day and then a large break. So I would try to have like a pretty substantial lunch during mm-hmm. that break. And then just maybe if I felt like I needed an energy bar or something small before the performance, I would do that. But a lot of water, Gatorade, staying hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've known each other, as we mentioned earlier, for quite a while. And, you know, you dated, you got married, you had a child. Is it difficult to maintain relationships with family when you're a professional dancer?
Yes. I would say that is one of the hardest struggles that I came across, especially after having my son.
Mm-hmm.
Our schedule is very demanding. Mm-hmm. And so it's when you have a child, as any working parent knows, you don't go home and just get to veg out. I mean, right. You are still working.
Yep.
Your other job.
Right.
And the most important job. So for me, going back to work after having Clive was, I was really motivated to do that. I definitely wasn't done dancing, performing. And so I was very motivated to get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find it challenging to balance my time and energy and attention to everyone that needed it. And I think the hardest part was the Nutcracker season mm-hmm. because it takes up a large chunk of the winter and you miss out on a lot of family traditions that you could have and things like that. But pros and cons. I mean, I loved everything about my job. So.
Right. So one thing that keeps you going, probably, or kept you going during that time, I'm sure, was the support of your family and your mm-hmm. friends. And I've seen them at your performances. I've seen them all there waiting and said, you know, seen them there being supportive. And you've mentioned of your fans, and I'm sure them, you know, saying like, you know, we love you, we want to see you, was also kind of keeping you going.
Mm-hmm.
But in October, Ballet Met announced that you were retiring. And your cover photo on Facebook, I think, was that your final bow?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so emotional. Was it difficult to make the choice in terms of disappointing your fans?
I don't think I thought that I would be disappointing them. I do know that there are many people who will miss me, and that makes me happy
mm-hmm.
in a way. I don't want them to be sad, but I want to be missed.
Right.
I feel like I left somewhat of a legacy at Ballet Met, being there as long as I did and kind of joining the company as a kid. I was 18, and they watched me grow up. They watched me get married. They watched me have a child. And there are some very, very special people in that organization and fans that have just followed me over the years. So I don't know if I thought that I would be disappointing them, and I'm sorry if I did. but it's kind of nice to hear that I will be missed.
Yeah.
And I appreciate everyone's support over the years I was there.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I was just about to ask you about this article that was in our local newspaper here, the Columbus Dispatch. And Jimmy Arante, who's like we were talking about before mm-hmm. We started, his neighbor, and Sonia was watching Clive, which I didn't know at the time that was Clive. It was so funny. And he did say, one of those quotes there was, to have seen her come in as a young artist and develop into a seasoned artist after she did roles after year after year. So I'm thinking, this is me thinking now about all the years that I've seen you perform, but one of my favorite performances that I've seen you do Was your interpretation of the grandmother in the Nutcracker? And was it this past year or the year before?
It could have been either.
Okay. And, you know, based by the reactions of the audience, I think everyone loved it. I think the way I can describe it was an elder woman vacillating between narcolepsy and an active derriere. It was so cute. I loved it. And I'm sure that, well, did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah.
And that was a conscious choice, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
It's always fun to break out your comedic side a little bit. You know, we put a lot of pressure on our big performances. Like, if you take Nutcracker, for instance, I do Sugar Plum Fairy, and then I would do Grandma in the next show. And
right.
So it was really fun to just kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. But at the same time, it's challenging because comedic timing is hard. And actually, I was coached pretty heavily by Robert Post for the Grandma.
Oh, yeah.
For the Nutcracker, yeah.
Okay. And then I also read a quote of yours that said, if you're doing the same part for 13 years, it's important to find new challenges in yourself. So is that what that performance was all about for you?
My final performance?
Yeah.
Obviously, I just wanted to give my best performance I could because it would be everyone's last memory of me.
Yeah.
But I always set the bar high for myself, and I think that's important for anyone to take with them in life, no matter what you're doing, is never settle. You could always be better, and it's important for our children to see that work ethic also.
Right. Another thing that I saw in your videos that you had this daily practice, did that change when you had Clive?
Oh, yes.
And now, what about now that you're retiring? Are you going to still be doing this practicing on a daily basis?
I haven't stepped into a dance class since I stopped in April. I'm not saying I won't ever, but right now I'm focusing on my family and just being a mom and helping Cody with his company that's kind of growing rapidly, and we'll see.
Okay. So I guess a lot of people, once they retire, they like, you know, maybe teach. Are you planning on teaching in your new location where you're moving to?
Possibly. I've thought about it a little bit. We're just going to wait and get settled and get Clive into a preschool, and then maybe I'll start looking into something like that. An idea is also opening my own dance studio someday, and that could be a definite possibility, too.
The Ben Studio sounds like it has a nice ring to it. Okay, so I guess tonight you also missed a ballet class, actually, because I do some cyber-stalking of my guests before I would come on the show. So you still kind of enjoy it as a pastime.
I do. There's a new studio in Clintonville, actually. That a friend of mine opened. Mm-hmm. And so I really have been wanting to try to get there and take some classes. It's called Flux and Flow. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't, schedules are crazy, you know, with kids. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm hoping to get there.
Okay. And how
at some
old,
point.
Yeah. How old is Clive now?
He's three.
Mm-hmm. Is there, if I may ask a personal question, are you guys considering expanding your family?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably another thing that it's going to be keeping you busy.
Yes. And that was also another kind of factor in deciding to retire when I did. Mm-hmm. Just
are you pregnant?
No. I'm not. Maybe. I don't know.
Totally. Okay, so Adrian, I'm sure you, as we were talking about 13 years dancing, you've had a lot of different performances that you've done. Can you tell us one that maybe like really stands out for you?
I've had some great experiences in my career. One that definitely sticks out is dancing the lead in Swan Lake, Odette O'Deal. So there's the white swan and the black swan, and it's the same ballerina who performs both. If you've ever seen the movie Black Swan.
I did.
Swan.
I was about to ask you, is that kind of accurate?
Well, it's definitely made for screen. It's dramatized, but the ballet is the correct story, yes.
Okay.
But I mean,
is that crushing? Is it that hard? Is that rigorous? Is it that much pressure?
Yeah, I never felt that way at Ballet Met, but I could imagine maybe in some of the larger New York City companies, maybe it is that way.
Okay.
I don't know. But I danced the lead in Swan Lake when I was 3 months pregnant with my son.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that's definitely a feat for me that I kind of look back on and say, I don't know how I did that.
Right. And, you know, I've had two children myself, and like that's a time when you're feeling nauseous. And were you feeling nauseous?
No. Luckily, I had a really easy pregnancy. I would say I was starting to feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of how intense those roles are to dance, being pregnant added on to that. And I was wanting a nap every hour. But it was kind of like I kind of just told myself, once this is over, then you can really focus on being pregnant. But right now, just get through this.
And then did you take a hiatus after that?
I didn't. I continued. I performed in the Nutcracker. I was only the grandma.
Okay.
For every performance that year.
And you,
that was 2013.
How pregnant were you then?
At that point, I was 20 weeks, 20 to 24 weeks, yeah. And so it was a nice, like, it was a fun way to still be, you know, with my friends and working, but not so stressful.
Right, and then you can hide it.
Yeah.
You can add on a little bit extra weight and not worry about it,
right.
Which is good.
Yes.
Did you ever have a performance where you felt as if you didn't enjoy it or you didn't do as well as you wanted to?
Of course. Like I said earlier, I always set my bar so high for myself, and there were times when I just was disappointed with how I did, if I didn't execute some of the things I had worked on the way I wanted to. And of course, like, people in the audience probably don't see those things, but to us, they're huge. So yes, I've had disappointing performances. I do have to say, though, I've also had performances where I've surprised myself with how much I enjoyed it. You know, we don't fall in love with every role we do. There are definitely roles that you just immediately fall in love with and they're natural to you, but there are others that don't just come that easy, and you have to find a way to get through it and enjoy it if you can. And
right.
I have surprised myself in some of those roles where the process hasn't really been so enjoyable, but in the performance it was like, oh, I just had a lot of fun doing that.
Nice. And I read Sugar Plum Fairy was one of your favorite.
Yes. Well, Sugar Plum Fairy was my first classical principal role. I had the opportunity to do it my second season with the company. So I was very young and I continued to do it for the other 13 years I was there. But I think that's why it kind of holds a little special place in my heart, is because it was my very first kind of big opportunity. And also just seeing those kids' faces when I would do meet and greets after performances, and everyone loves the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure. You know, I was going to ask you something, since we're kind of like talking about dancing and how it can really influence emotion in people. And I mentioned it, like the different types of dancing, and I mentioned stripping as a part of dancing. And I was listening to the show on one of the cable networks on Sirius, and it was a woman who is a stripper. You know, I was just thinking to myself, because I was thinking about this, about our interview coming up, you know, nudity aside, and there's really nothing wrong with nudity, I don't understand, like, why, or maybe you can help me, why are people so, like, there's so much, I don't know, stigma or seediness attached to just women having beautiful bodies and just dancing? What are your thoughts on that? I'm curious, as a ballerina.
I don't know. I mean, I think that some people can be just very sensitive, and they don't look at the woman's body as being beautiful art, which is a shame.
Right.
And I find it more prevalent in smaller cities than if you were to go to New York or, I mean, Europe, you have ballet dancers dancing topless. And Columbus, we have had that opportunity, and we've always said, no, we just don't feel like Columbus would react. It would be more of a distraction than them looking at it as art.
Wasn't there some type of dance that happened here where people were naked, or was there one like that?
There's a few that were supposed to be. The Rite of Spring that you mentioned in my bio, Doug Verone's, when I was the chosen one, that was back in 2004 maybe, or 5, very early on in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Another wonderful opportunity I had in my young years.
Mm-hmm.
But I was supposed to be stripped nude at the end of it, and the director at the time just kind of decided, you know what, I just don't feel like this is, you know, I just don't feel like this is the time or place.
Gotcha.
I mean, a nude leotard, people will still get the idea with a nude leotard. And I didn't mind either way.
Right.
So,
because if it's a distraction from the art, then there's no point in it.
Yeah.
Rather than it contributing to the art, it would have detracted from the art. Yeah.
I would kind of compare that to, like, having tattoos as a performer. Like, I have a couple, and I would always cover them whenever they would be exposed, even if I didn't have to. But I would just, I wanted people to watch my movement and not focus on, what is that on her?
Right.
You know?
Right. And one of the things that I really appreciate about ballet is, like, you're telling this incredibly intricate story, and there's not one word. Not one word. Yeah. I love that. I love that about that. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And it's also kind of something you can find if you're dancing with a partner. You have that communication so much inside of the studio that when you get to the stage, it's as if you're communicating, but you communicate through your movement and through breath, like breathing together and finding the moments together that way.
So you guys do talk during rehearsals?
Not so much when we're running a scene, but like my partner for a long time who I retired, he was my Romeo, David Ward. Mm-hmm. He and I would just communicate all the time, talk through our pas de deux and figure out what we were trying to say and, you know, just so we can make it as clear to the audience as we could. And we are just committed to doing that together.
Did you guys also talk about retiring at the same time?
No, he didn't actually retire. He's going to be, he'll still be dancing.
Oh, okay.
He'll be freelancing.
Oh, I see.
For a little bit, yeah.
Gotcha. I thought maybe you guys said so. Okay.
No, but
You jump, I jump.
No. I mean, I think there's a mutual sadness to not dance together anymore.
Sure.
Because we had a great partnership.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I know that Columbus is a much richer city for having had you, and I know we appreciate all your years of service because I know it's like takes a tremendous dedication, and I want to thank you for coming here today and sharing a little bit of yourself with us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Adrienne. For having me.
Thanks. From our person on the street.
Okay, so Sandy, what are your thoughts on dance?
I love to dance. I don't do much of it anymore, but I liked country line dancing back in the day. And about any kind of, you know, I like to watch dancing. I like to watch Dancing with the Stars. I like to see, you know, the dancing going on. I'm not able to do much of it anymore, but
that's what I was going to ask you. Why don't you do line dancing anymore if you liked it so much?
I have arthritis and I just really don't get into it much anymore. And back in the day I did and I enjoyed it all.
Where would you do it?
Different clubs that would have it, you know, they would have different kind of, used to be country bars, but there's not too many of those anymore.
Uh-huh. We should get some of those.
Yes, we should. It should bring some of those back. There's, you know, I think they have like Tequila Cowboy has a few, but not there's not many like back in the day there was.
All right, Sandy, so you should open up one so we can go do some country line dancing.
That would be great.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to U Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.